Marketers, are you ready to make an impact with audio advertising? People are hungry for authentic connections in a world buzzing all around us. How do you cut through the noise and truly reach your audience? Visit stateofaudio.com to see Odyssey State of Audio, the Trends Report. Uncover the secrets to high-impact creative. Learn how AI is revolutionizing the industry. And get ahead of the curve on measurement and audience trends. Don't just stay in the game. Win it. Visit stateofaudio.com and download your free copy.
There are a number of schools. The KDK Radio Storm Center, brought to you by Service Master of Greater Pittsburgh, Demand the Yellow Van, and the Butler Transit Authority. Two-hour delays as opposed to the closures we had, over 300 the last 2 days, with flexible instruction. But these are two-hour delays, so most of them are getting ready to get back to class, as we have been challenged this week by Old Man Winter. I saw, Paul, Bill Hillgrove disc jockeying I think it was last evening. And Bill joins us on the Big K Morning Show. Bill, is that right? Is that right?
Well, a lot of people don't know, Larry, that I was a disc jockey at TAE Radio from 1967 to 75. And then I put my sports hat on and put that part of my life behind me. But it was so much fun to go back and do that again and play the music that I played on the radio. Where were, you know, including my three favorite 70s groups. Number one would be Steely Dan. Number two would be Chicago. And number three, Earth, Wind, and Fire. And I had a blast.
Check, check, and triple check on all three, Bill. But where was this and what was the occasion?
Well, it's the Pelican Landing 2. It's a local bistro in Conneaut Lake. And we had talked about this because, you know, when I'm in there, I have the app, the TouchTunes app, where I can play the jukebox from my phone. And a couple of people said, "Hey, you know, you have pretty good taste in music." And then I talked to the owners, and they said, "Yeah, let's try it." And we had a nice night, even though it was, you know, as cold as it was. And we had a lot of people show up and enjoy themselves. So I had a blast.
Yeah, and I saw it on social media where you went live. I was like, oh, wow, Bill. And I remember when I first met you at WTAE, you were telling me about spinning discs at the top of the steel building.
Sitting between the tables, reading the labels.
All right, well, let's talk. First of all, Pitt basketball, they've had a big challenge with this skid. Next game up on the road in Syracuse, so I know where you'll be, 12:30 on Saturday. What's up with the Panthers as we get into the real meat of the ACC and conference action?
Well, think about the losses that they incurred in this four-game streak. The only one that really was unexpected was Florida State. The others, although they were slight favorites, Clemson could be the second best team in the conference, and Louisville could be the third best team. And so, you know, they just ran into that buzzsaw and just were not ready to deal with it. And I think one of the problems, and I think one of the problems for Jalen Lowe, who's in a mini slump, is the fact that they're not moving the ball well enough. You know, my partner Curtis Aiken says it best. He said, the ball's sticking. And you got to get the ball moving and get people defensively out of position so that you get good shots. And I don't think that's been happening as much as it should, so let's see if that can change.
All right, let's shift gears to the National Football League Championship. Sunday is coming, and we see Washington got by Detroit, which was a surprise to some, especially since it was indoors in Detroit, and they had been streaking, but five turnovers did them in, and Philly wins in a snowstorm, and then Buffalo will be in Kansas City. So let's start with the Commanders and the Eagles. Who do you like?
Well, you got to like Philadelphia. Let's face it, the Steelers beat Washington. Now, that was early on when the Steelers were playing better and Washington hadn't quite figured it out yet. But I kind of like the Eagles. In that other game, gosh, that's pretty tough, except that I look at the road record. And Buffalo's only 5-4 on the road this year, and that's where they'll be. So, you know what I think about this, and we could argue it. These might be the best four quarterbacks in the league. left. And yep. So it's no accident that their teams are playing for hardware.
We were just talking about that just a few minutes ago. I overheard a conversation about the statistics. The top five quarterbacks, the only one that's not still playing, Bill, is Joe Burrow.
Yeah. And, you know, when that team woke up, they were a load. It just took them the better part of the early season to figure it out and to get some people healthy. So, you know, I'm going to root for Buffalo, but something tells me that KC's going to be hard to beat at Arrowhead.
So it'll be Philly and Kansas City in the Super Bowl in New Orleans, according to Bill's picks. That said, I can honestly tell you I didn't feel bad that Baltimore lost. They gave the game away. And sure-handed tight end Mark Andrews, I don't think he'll ever live it down that he fumbled and then failed to catch what would be, as Tom Brady said, 999 times out of 1,000, he catches that ball for the 2 points to tie the game. But that's going to stick.
And he was wide open. And, you know, I bet Vegas could give you tremendous odds on him doing that and also fumbling the football.
All right, the great Bill Hillgrove. We'll listen to you on the Fan Saturday, Pitt and Syracuse, 12:30 tip-off. And here's a little Earth, Wind, and Fire for Bill as you roll out on your DJ days are back.
I love it.
We check in with the food editor from Pittsburgh Magazine, Christy Graver. Good morning.
Good morning, Larry. How are you?
How are you feeling? Warm? Cozy? Comfy?
Yeah, with my Isley sweater on, I'm very warm.
Nice. Nice touch. All right. What's in Pittsburgh Magazine? Well, you can help one of Pittsburgh's best restaurants help its employees. How?
Soju, it's a Korean-American eatery in Garfield, is closed for repairs after a flood, a burst pipe. Insurance doesn't cover lost wages, so the owner, Simon, launched the GoFundMe for his employees to help them out during this time. This is one of Pittsburgh's best restaurants, one of my best restaurants on my list last year, and just one of the nicest people ever, helps people out so much. Budding chefs use his kitchen for pop-ups and stuff like that. So go support them online. There's a link to the GoFundMe on our website.
And any chance of, you know, when they might be able to reopen?
They do not know. It's just been a waiting game. I haven't seen any updates on Instagram. I checked this morning. So I think it might be kind of a long haul.
Well, we hope people will find it in their heart to support them. And by the way,
yes,
you can see Christy via video at katiecamradio.com on our live stream presented by Metropolitan Window Company. The latest Real ID deadline is approaching. I'm glad you're bringing this up because we have blown it off since COVID, really. They kept pushing it out. Okay, and what this will mean is if you don't have real ID or a passport, you will not be able to fly domestically in the United States.
Yes. Yes. So it's domestic flights and entry to some federal facilities, and that's beginning May 7th. So if you don't have a real ID by then, you'll either have to have a valid U.S. passport or a military ID. And we have a story on what to do on our website, and it involves a trip to the DMV. So I'm sure it's going to make everyone's day.
Well, last month I had to get a new driver's license, and I took with me the stuff I thought I'd need, but the lines were long. And I said, well, I can get my updated license and I'll come back for the real ID. But I'm glad you're doing this because it's really important, that list and knowing what to bring so that you, when you do make the trip, you get it done and what you need.
<That day. laughs>
Yeah, so that's real ID going to be required beginning May 7th. And it's not just for flying in America. I think a lot of people haven't gotten that part yet, Christy.
Right. So it's very important. So check it out. And I need to reread it again just so I know what to do. And it's on my list, my enormous list.
Yeah, I have that on my list too. All right. Ice cold beer.
That's you know, kind of right up my alley, except for the ice and the cold. I have promised to brave the frigid yet invigorating Tub Club waters when the organization pops up at Allegheny City Brewing on February 1st. That's next Saturday. In addition to pop-ups, founders Tyler and Eric host weekly ice bath sessions at an active funeral home in Spring Hill. So I'm a little afraid. You just sit in a tub of water, very ice cold, and then you get into a sauna. So we'll see. I'm gonna do it because they said it's gonna do wonders for me.
What is it about this? And I've heard this ice bath thing has caught on here in the last year. I don't ever remember people talking about it. Once a year, we'd hear the polar plunge for the new year.
Yes,
but this is people that are doing this for fun,
right? And well, they don't want to do it. And even Tyler and Eric admitted that they never want to do it. But once they do it, they're so glad that they did. So, I mean, I can attest that jumping into the Mon River on New Year's Day is very invigorating. But it's also the Mon River. So this is a little bit more sanitary, I guess. But
Oh, you've done that? You jumped into the river before?
Yeah. Yeah. A couple times. It's fun. But, you know, I'm 46 now. So.
And then you get into the sauna, so you go from one extreme to the other, and I've seen for yes. some reason there's a big push of home saunas, that it's really healthy for you too.
Yeah, I mean, I need one, especially today. So we'll see. I'll let you know how it goes, but spectators are allowed, so if you want to witness this, be my guest.
All right, read all about it, pittsburghmagazine.com. Christy Graber, have a good weekend. And by the way, next Saturday is going to be Groundhog Eve. So that's
that's a big day.
All right. Have a good weekend.
Bye, Larry.
Yeah. And Aaron, I don't know if you're aware that since Groundhog Day falls on a Sunday this year, it's a week from Sunday up at Gobbler's Knob in Punxsutawney, Pennsylvania. Have you ever been?
I have not.
You want to go?
I would love to go. I would go up there.
So are you familiar with the Bill Murray movie, Groundhog Day?
No.
You never saw it?
I don't think
I have. It's actually really good. It's been a while now since it's come out, but when it did come out, I was doing weather on KDK TVs. So they sent me there to cover it. And for 3.5 hours, think about this, talking about the dangers of cold. Right outside the stump. Now, you've seen them pull fill out.
Yes, I've seen the whole little. Yeah.
It was 13 below zero, the actual temperature. And
I
stood there for 3.5 hours.
Did you have little heat warmers in your shoes?
All I had was a baseball cap that said Groundhog Day, the movie they gave us. But then one of the gals that was with the movie, she was there 20 minutes. She goes, I can't take this. She had these giant earmuffs. And I said, please let me have those.
I cannot believe
so
you did that.
She gave them to me, and I put them on. She goes, you're going to look really stupid on TV. And CBS, the network, took our broadcast. They would periodically check in, but we didn't know when we were on.
Right.
And just then, they were zoomed in on me and focusing, and Harry Smith at the time with Paul is on. They go, is that Phil? Meaning me. And
the earmuffs had them spoofed.
Yeah, and Harry Smith said, no, but it looks like there's a lot of drinking going on up there.
Right. They're like, how'd he end up with those on?
Yeah, thanks. So we're a week and a few days away from Groundhog Day. You got that going for you. Marty, in our next hour, Big K Morning Show, we've heard a lot about artificial intelligence. You can't go anywhere without hearing about it in one form or another. And we've also heard that Pittsburgh is rapidly becoming a AI center. And then along with that, we've heard there's a tremendous demand for energy to supply that, which makes Pittsburgh attractive. And joining us from Duquesne Light is the Vice President of Corporate Strategy, Brian Guzik. Brian, good morning.
Morning, Larry. How are you?
I'm doing well. So I understand Duquesne Light, obviously famous utility here in the region with energy and power. How does this affect the future and what you're looking at when we talk about artificial intelligence?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's really exciting. Myself, I'm a third-generation Pittsburgh individual, and, you know, looking back, you had all the heavy manufacturing in our region in the 80s, and, you know, that has gone away, but the wonderful teammates here at Duquesne Light over the past 100 years of innovating have kept that grid strong. And so now we've well-positioned ourselves to be able to take on, in selective areas, we have to be very mindful of where we encourage these customers to go. But we're encouraged. We can be there supportive, which isn't the same in all the other cities. A lot of the other cities don't have the transmission infrastructure and maybe haven't made the investment that we have over the past, you know, several decades. So it's an exciting opportunity for us. It's exciting for the region, but it doesn't come without challenges, and we're ready for those challenges. But that to me is super exciting for everyone in the region, not just Duquesne Light.
I'm curious to know how this would affect me as a customer, what you're doing.
Yeah, is this going to mean my bill's going to go down, Brian?
Yeah, I'd love to say yes, but it's really balanced, Larry. We're really trying to provide that safe, reliable, affordable power today, but also positioning ourselves so that we have energy security in the future. So, you know, the average home individual, if you're using ChatGPT and other things like that, you'll want that investment. You'll want that to be there. And we really haven't understood the power of AI on many fronts, but we understand the power that it requires. And so for the average homeowner, I would say it could be an opportunity. We want those AI data centers to pay their fair share. And we're working to do that with our partners, both in Harrisburg and in Washington. But that's really what it is, Larry. We encourage those individuals. We want them to pay their fair share.
Does this require a major upgrade for the utility in terms of infrastructure?
It doesn't today. Now, we're making prudent investments to make sure that it's not a massive requirement, but like I said before, we do have select areas that have capacity. So we're positioning ourselves. We're encouraging those customers to look at and to go to those particular regions. But we're going to have to continue to invest to make sure that, again, we have the right power supplies in place so that, you know, someone at home can turn on their lights or not having any worries or any issues. And we also want to be there for the heavy industrial companies that Pittsburgh has been known for to make sure that they have the power and they're supporting, you know, AI and don't forget about, you know, cloud computing capacity. That's a data center that still has demand. And as businesses grow and come toward Pittsburgh, great for the region, but they're going to require those facilities as well, too.
We're with Brian Guzik from Duquesne Light talking about the power necessary to support artificial intelligence. Why does it take so much power?
Yeah, that's a great question. I mean, if you think about all of the computing, and I love to kind of go back to, you know, those using ChatGPT and other things, a normal Google search, let's say, is, you know, we're using it of you know, a Google search around 3, and then a ChatGPT would be about 30. And so think about that on a broad spectrum and, you know, higher computing capacity and power, and you have everything, you know, the microsecond looking. It requires, I mean, if you think about some of these hyperscalers like the Amazon, you know, AWS or Meta, these large campus, you know, multiple acre sites can require about 300 to 900 megawatts. And just a comparison, if Duquesne Light is 500,000 homes, one of those facilities is about 220,000, 225,000 homes. So it's significant, Larry, what the power computing what it requires. And so that's we're working hard to make sure that we're looking 10, 15, 20 years out to make sure that people in the Pittsburgh region and have that safe, reliable, and also affordable power today and for years to come.
Brian, the facility that you were just describing to generate the power for these big search engines and for like the ChatGPT, for example, is anything like that planned in the near future here in Pittsburgh to create the kind of energy that would be required?
Yeah, that's a good question, Larry. Now, keep in mind, at Duquesne Light, we're transmission and distribution, so we're generation agnostic. So the independent power producers such as, you know, First Energy, NRG, You know, they're the ones building and constructing and evaluating. We're there as partners to make sure that when they generate the power, we get it to the customers from a green perspective, from whatever the fuel source is. We're truly supporting an all the above strategy from nuclear to natural gas to wind to hydro. We support all those. So I want to first make sure that's clear. And I'll also say there's companies evaluating all over, not just in our region, but we have a lot of requests for, you know, support and analyzing, you know, what could be here in Pittsburgh. So we have several data centers inquiring. They're inquiring here. They're acquiring in Cleveland and others. So it's still a little too early to tell the scale in which would be here in our region, but we're preparing and we're making sure that we're well positioned to take on that if and so the Pittsburgh region grows at an exponential rate in that space.
Yeah, important, as we've learned over the years when we do, you know, our warm-a-thons that for Dollar Energy Fund, is the fact that
That's right.
A utility, you're the distribution and you are the pass-through from the generation of the power, of which there are a multitude and different platforms because people, you know, can choose. You have your utility in your region, but you can choose your energy supplier, right?
That's correct, yeah. So we offer a default service plan. There's a lot of customers that we have that, you know, maybe don't want to have to go out and look and compare pricing. We have a default service plan that we look and we go out on behalf of our customers. It's a very structured, regulated process that we go out and, again, it's a complete pass-through. We do it on behalf of the customer to provide the lowest overall cost of power to our customers that decide to go on that default service plan. But Larry, you are correct. Our customers, and we encouraged our customers to shop and to look for the best price for them and the best generation source for them. So we absolutely encourage that and have that ability. But we do have a significant amount of customers that choose to go on the default service plan and have us do that commercial reverse auction that's very structured and regulated, which we do not make anything on. It's truly on behalf of our customers.
All right, Brian, appreciate the update. Thanks for the time.
Absolutely, Larry, and thanks for having us.
You got it. Brian Guzik, Vice President of Corporate Strategy at Duquesne Light. And a lot of people don't know that, Paul.
I didn't know that until this morning. I made the assumption that they were also involved in generation.
Not at all.
Yeah.
They're the pass-through. They're the distributor. You can't change your utility in whatever region you're in, but you can change
your supplier.
The supplier and the pricing. But that is a slippery slope.
Let me tell you, I did that only one time.
Trying to figure that whole thing out.
I got a good deal going in, and about 6 months later, bam. And I went right back to Columbia Gas. I was out in the western suburbs at that time. So I understand that can be kind of tricky, but I was thinking about, I wonder when we're going to start to see here in the Pittsburgh area this generation energy to power AI, because it's going to be, they're going to have to do something. But look at all the activity there is here now.
Well, according to Rich Fitzgerald, that process is already underway. So there are power generation companies coming here for that specific purpose. So Pittsburgh is becoming an artificial institute, and they have a group together talking about the development in Pittsburgh. And this is separate from the conversations with the Pittsburgh Downtown Partnership about their plan for the next 3 years to spruce up the Golden Triangle so that we are show ready by next April with the NFL draft coming to the Berg.
I remember all the positive coverage that happened when Detroit was in the spotlight for the draft and all the things that they were doing to revitalize downtown Detroit and create a new atmosphere there came to light, and Detroit came away looking great.
Yeah, they did.
I mean, it's a real image changer for them.
And they needed it, and there have been real changes there.
So I'm hopeful that the same thing can happen for us. It's not the same problem. You know, what I'm interested in more than anything else is more and more people seeing how nice Pittsburgh is. Those money shots that they put on during the football games, where they've got the aerial shots of the Golden Triangle, especially at night, man.
They have an impact.
They really do.
How about this? Donald Trump talked to the Crown Prince of Saudi Arabia, apparently, and The Crown Prince wants to invest $600 billion into the United States over the next 4 years.
Now, what they're going to invest in is not made clear in the article that I'm reading. They say that they don't know. But back in 2017, Larry, then President Trump went to Saudi Arabia. There was a tradition for the U.S. president always to go to the United Kingdom first.
Right. He went to the Saudi Arabia
right.
first.
And the reason that he said he did that was because that they pledged at that time to spend about $450 billion on American products. So now they've had another conversation. This is just coming to light this morning.
Right.
This just happened.
So I think he's going to visit Saudi Arabia and they're going to pony up $600 billion in the next 4 years.
It sure looks like that's what's going to happen.
That would take the edge off the weekend, wouldn't it?
It would. And the other thing here is that the Saudis have been talking for a long time, including with the former Biden administration, about recognizing Israel in exchange for U.S. defense protections. So perhaps that's part of the trip as well.
It'll be interesting to see where it goes.